Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Ghost Encounters of the Third Kind. And this week we have a full team.
Are you all right, everybody? Yeah, we're all right now.
We're getting there. Anyway, this week we are going to be talking about the different hauntings and goings on, paranormal activity at, where is it?
Canuck Chase.
Just Canuck joking Chase. With you. Yeah, Canuck Chase. It's quite local to us.
Yeah, I think it's only about, is it 30, 40 minutes away from us?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a district in Staffordshire.
We should spend more time there, shouldn't we, really?
Definitely.
Considering it's only down the road.
It's Canuck Chase Country Park, and it was designated as an area of natural beauty in 1958. It was also, much of the area was designated as a site of special scientific interest.
Really?
It's a mixture of woodland and open heathland, and I think there's a few little lakes, I think, like pond lakes, whatever. It covers about 3,000 acres, so thereabouts.
Didn't realise it was that big.
There's lots there. Yeah. Massive. There's visitor centres, there's a museum, I think Shugborough Hall stands at one end of it. There's the remains of Castle Ring, Iron Age Hill Fort. There's several war memorials, including German and Commonwealth War cemeteries there. Did you know that there's a Great Dane buried there? A Harlequin Great Dane buried there that was the mascot of the New Zealand Rifle Brigade.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
There you go. And also, it was in, it, well, it made national headlines in the 1960s when the Canuck Chase murders were about, when they found the remains of three young girls on the chase after they went missing from areas along the A34, I think the stretch from Canuck Chase towards Birmingham, that stretch there, they kind of went missing from there.
I didn't even know that either.
I didn't know that either.
There was a gentleman found guilty, but strangely, he was only found guilty of one of the murders. And he was sentenced to life imprisonment, and I think he's long since died. So, and what's interesting is since the 1940s, I think, there's been sightings and reports of all kind of things paranormal, from black dogs, werewolves, big cats, UFOs, even Bigfoot. They've all appeared in the local press. The Slenderman, the Pigman, countless other spirits, entities and disembodied voices and noises, and it's a very interesting place. So we thought we'd just have a little chat this evening, and we'd pick up on one particular thing and have a little chat about it, and and see where we go from there. So, what have you got then, Nick?
Me? Oh, sorry. one of the things that are reported there are black-eyed kids. What they are, we don't really know. We were just discussing this earlier. Mm. What they are, the kids between, I think, the age of 6 or 7 up to mid-teens. And they're always, like, dressed in, well, not always, but mostly dressed in rags, that sort of thing. But their eyes are completely black. Now, one of the stories which I'm not condoning this by any way, because you're not supposed to wild camp in England. There was a couple that were camping on the chase. And when they were in the tent in the middle of the night, they heard like singing, like a child singing. So they opened the tent door and saw nothing, went back in. Heard it singing again and laughing, and they thought they could hear it like somebody running around the tent, So they went again, opened the door, nothing again. They heard this laughing again and singing, And when they opened the tent again, there was a ring of bricks all the way around the tent, little pebbles all the way around. So obviously they got out then and thinking, well, somebody's messing about here. Yeah. So they turn on the torch, and straight away, behind a tree, they saw a head pop round of a young child with blacked out eyes. So obviously they were startled by this. When they flashed the light on it again, it vanished and appeared behind another tree. So they didn't see it walk, they just saw it like it was teleporting, you know, from one place to another.
Yeah.
And that was it, really, for that one. But obviously it scared them, so they just sat in the tent all night then and didn't come out.
Yeah.
And that was it until the morning. They got out in the morning when it was light, and... They got out in the morning when it was light. All the stones were still there around the tent, a big circle of stones around the tent, and they could hear laughing in the woods.
God, he's like Blair Witch.
Yeah, well,
the next morning.
Exactly, the next morning. So they walked there, followed it because it was daylight. They thought, well, it's somebody messing about, and they went. And they just saw one in the distance, a young child just stood there. And the names have been changed. I can't remember what the names were, but obviously they didn't want to be known. And they just said, did you see that? Did you see that? And as soon as the other one looked, it vanished, and that was it. Nothing else after that.
Is this, is there some footage, some drone footage out there somewhere of Cannock Chase that they claim to have caught? One of these black-eyed kids on some footage from a drone.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it. It's a very poor picture, though.
Yeah. Can't really.
Yeah.
Could be shadows on it, can't it, or on the face or whatever. That's just one instance. Another one is like the classic ones you get from America. There was another couple in the car parked up on Cannock Chase, you know, just relaxing.
Taking in the view. Yes.
And something knocked on the side window. So he flashed his headlights. No, he didn't.
It's another podcast.
Something on the window, and he wiped the steamy window to look through. And there was a boy and a girl stood there by his window.
Do we know why it was steamed up?
Well, I wouldn't like to suggest.
The heater wasn't working.
But the heater wasn't working. I think it might have been raining. A boy and a girl, young boy and a girl, stood there and just standing there, looking straight at him, staring straight at him, and their eyes were completely black. So he wound the window down a little bit to see if he could, and then all of a sudden they were gone. To the other side of the car, knocked on that window, the other side. So at that point, he drove off.
As you would.
Yeah. So.
But these aren't exclusive to Cannock Chase, are they? Or is this a worldwide thing?
Oh, they happen everywhere, don't they? Black-eyed kids. They're more well known on highways in America, aren't they?
Yeah. Is there any theory? Has anybody come up with a theory of who they are? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I think I heard somewhere they think they're always asking. In these instances, okay, the first ones who were in the tent heard the. But there was only one child there. They're usually in twos, to be honest with you. But there was only one child there. They heard that singing and laughing. Mm. But they're usually always asking to come in. Can you let me in, please? Can you let me in, please? A bit like the vampires do, isn't it? But I don't know why you aren't supposed to let them in. I don't know whether they are a demon or... They obviously aren't human because they teleport and... They vanish straight away. They're there one minute, they're not the next.
And if there's warnings out there not to let them in your car or wherever they may be, then I should imagine they're not a good omen, then, are they?
I don't care if it's a little kid, a man, a woman, or an old person, but if they've got jet black eyes, I'm not letting them in anywhere, are you?
No, absolutely not. You know. I wouldn't have even wound the window down.
No. I think he just cracked it open so he could see properly. And then when he'd wound it down, they'd gone and they were the other side. So,
just can't imagine.
Yeah. It's just strange, isn't it? If they were bad, why they would need permission?
I don't know.
You know, when they just get you.
So they need to be invited as such?
It seems that way, yeah.
You have to give your permission to people, like you say. I've heard stories in America where they've tried, knocked on the car and asked to get in the car. It's not just houses, it is cars.
They never ever, as far as I've read, they never ever try and force their way into anywhere. They always ask to come in. Can you pick us up? Car's broke down, or we'll give some excuse. You know, my mum's in trouble, can I come in and give you your phone? Can you let us in? Can you let us in? My sister's. But they're in America, them sort of.
There's a common theory in the paranormal world, isn't there, that demons, if you want to call it that, I mean, I know what we think about the word demons, quite often sort of masquerade as young children.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously to evoke the sympathy and the trust from people, because they're kids, you know, who wants to see a kid walking barefoot in the middle of the street and not want to help, kind of thing. So
they always seem in distress, don't they? Whenever you, they're not just like two kids, and you usually got their hoods up as well, so they're hidden, so you can't really
can't make out till the last minute.
Till the last minute.
Do you not think it could be a hybrid? If like the little grey aliens, they've got big almond black eyes, aren't they? So if they're hybrids between greys and humans, maybe they've.
Well, there has been a lot of UFO sightings around Cannock Chase, hasn't there? So.
I think they kind of go along with that phenomenon.
They could be, because nobody... Well, we were discussing this as well, weren't we? Because I don't actually know of anybody that's allowed them in to the car or allowed them into the house. If anybody out there listening to this does know a case of this, then let us know.
And what happened?
So we don't really know what they won't come in for, do we? Or what they are, or... What if they have gone in? Does nobody tell a story, is there?
No.
So if they have let, that's if why. Anybody has let them in, it's not good, is it?
No.
You know?
Very interesting. And Nick, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got it's only a little one. It's Haunting of Castle Ring.
Ooh.
It's another podcast.
Oh dear.
Okay.
The Castle Ring. I don't know if anybody's googled it. You can actually see it on Google Earth. It's like a piece of ground that nothing seems to grow on. So I don't know if there's been like a UFO maybe landed there. I don't know.
That's what they suspected, isn't it?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
But the story I've got goes. It's an Iron Age hill fort, and there's several sightings of a ghostly drummer who drums, is in full uniform, doesn't say of a kind of a date, so I don't know what kind of uniform they would be wearing, and the legend goes that people who hear the drumming, it's kind of a pre-warning to a death. I don't know if it's a death in the family of the person who hears it, or a death in the... I don't know, because obviously there'll be people dying all the time everywhere, isn't there? So I don't know how that can be proved. Or disaster, impending danger, or disaster. So I don't know how that links to a UFO, because some people said that it is the spot of a UFO landing, but it's just nothing grows there. It's just like a ring. I don't know if that's why it's called the Castle Ring. Is
Castle
it?
Ring.
I don't
know if,
so what was there? What was there before?
I know it's like a hilltop fort. But I've never been, so I don't know if how high it is from.
I've tried finding it before now, and I've failed miserably. But I have seen it on Google Earth, like you say. So I've never actually been to the place myself.
There is a lot of sort of military history with
Onkanic.
Yeah, Onkanic Chase, isn't there? There was, I think there was barracks there at one point, and, you know, and also you've got all the memorials and the cemeteries, you know, the war stuff.
Underground bases or anything there, it'd be interesting.
There's underground mines, apparently.
I know they've had archaeologists there, and they've had the LIDAR, and they've picked up a lot of stuff, you know, from back in sort of World War II days. So have a drumming boy kind of fits in with the history of it, so
I wonder if that's related to that, you know, the dog, which is
That's also, there's lots of sightings of that. They call it like a demon dog, don't they, a black dog, and that's also meant to be a forewarning of a death, isn't it? So when people see that quite often, you know, there's
and also with the drummer, they're saying that there's a rise and drop in temperature, but maybe
that's interesting.
Maybe if it's getting on at night time, there's a natural drop in temperature up there, I should imagine. Yeah. So I don't know.
So he's only out at night time.
It doesn't say
because the black-eyed children
day.
They're out during the day. Aren't
they're both. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have thought it'd have been different times of the day. It doesn't actually say, you know, what time of day it was. Could be any time. You know, like I say, we've been a few places where at night we've had no activity, but people are reporting that there's activity in the day, maybe. If the soldier died in the day, maybe. It's a daytime thing, I don't know. Doesn't say. You know, we don't know if any of these stories are true, do we? But they're just.
There must have been some sort of battle there, then, would you say, at some point?
Yeah, I would have thought so. I don't know if there was. I'd look through at where the legend comes from, but it doesn't really say.
Very interesting.
I've got another one, but we'll come to that one in a minute.
Okay, and what about you then, Faye? What have you got for us?
Well. I've got a werewolf on the Onkanic Chase, apparently. Or werewolves. Not quite sure. So I've got a little article telling me. A supernatural survey from something called the Fringe Weird Report. Have you heard of that?
No, not really.
Says there have apparently been 20 reported werewolf sightings on Onkanic Chase. And it says the report has been put together by Lionel Fanthorpe, who's a lead. Do you know why?
That's an ace name.
Lionel Fanthorpe. I nearly didn't say it.
Fanthorpe. He's a vicar type.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you know about him?
Yeah, I've heard him on Coast to Coast.
It says he's a leading figure in paranormal research.
He's got a fab voice for radio.
And he studies police reports. Blimey. And archives of groups who explore ghostly and unexplained events. Can we get in touch with this Lionel?
I'm disappointed, to be honest, that I don't know of him.
I know. Yeah. Nick does.
I bet you would have heard some of his stories. He does like Christmas stories. He's got like a really strange voice for radio. Yeah, he does Christmas stories and stuff on some of the main podcasts I listen to.
Okay, cool.
Good.
So anyway, the survey shows that a paranormal group visited Onkanic Chase in 1975, with several of them claiming they saw a snarling beast rear up onto its hind legs and run off into the bushes. There have been recent sightings, it said, but this article, it states the page has been archived and no longer updated. So we could do with finding out if this is April 2007, this is, see if there's anything more. West Midlands Ghost Club had been called in to investigate calls from people who'd seen a werewolf type creature prowling around the chase. Several people claimed they'd seen the wolf walking on its hind legs in the German War Cemetery on Camp Road.
Well, that's right close to the road, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that not near where the dog was buried? The Great Dane?
I don't know where the Great Dane is buried.
Oh.
wonder if that is the, if they've seen the Great Dane and then mixed it up with that. Mm. Maybe some of them.
They said they thought it was a large dog until it raised itself up to its full length, of which was almost 7 foot tall. You could, a Great Dane could easily
that, get up that. They'd be bigger than that Great Dane, wouldn't they?
And it darted off into the bushes when it was startled. The Cannock Chase Post ran a story a month later in which it quoted an unnamed paranormal expert who claimed the werewolf sightings could actually be a subterranean Stone Age throwback.
Oh.
Okay.
He offered the theory that the creatures could have lived and thrived in the old mines under Cannock Chase. Mm. I didn't know there was any mines under Cannock Chase.
Well, we
didn't.
Well, we were told, weren't we? Yeah, by the guy who went to his house.
Yeah.
Under there for centuries, coming up to the surface via old earthworks to hunt for local deer. He also claimed that there have been a number of domestic pet disappearances in the area around the war cemetery, especially dogs who are let off the leads while out on walks. Blimey, you let your dog off and it just doesn't come back.
That would happen with mine if they saw a squirrel, though, to be fair. He just wouldn't come back.
Yeah. We've got documents dated from 1986 to 1992 revealed a number of letters sent between the MOD officers and Staffordshire Police to try and explain all of these sort of things. And we've got some, I think these are people here, there's quite a list, so I won't do them all, that have theories of what it could be, might be. One says there may be a werewolf, as there are many sightings. The only reason so many people haven't seen it is because they don't look at the right times. And somebody else says there are muntjac deer, is it? Muntjac deer on the chase. They're the size of a large dog. They have long canine teeth and they bark. Really? Mm. Like come face to face with them.
I think they are black
deer
as well, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think so.
So maybe they are the cause of the werewolf. There's quite a few there, rather than me reading them all out. There's some theories as to what they could be, however.
Yeah. Have you come across one with, if you've been looking, I can't find any write-up about it, but I have heard another podcast that I listened to, and they were talking about Cannock Chase, and they were saying that there's been reported, like, a clan of, like, pygmy people, small people wearing furs and with spears, and one of them ran at the person who was viewing them and then disappeared.
I think there's like a portal or something.
I think perhaps they're hinting at like a subterranean race, and I think anywhere that's had lots of tunnels and caves and mines, old mine shafts and things like that, especially over in America with the gold, the gold mine shafts and stuff. I think there's lots of stories about these little subterranean people that live underground, and you know, they've evolved not to grow very tall because obviously they live in tunnels. I think there's a
they call them goblins, don't they?
Yeah,
a lot of investigators they believe goblins are in all these caves and tunnels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it says as well, there's apparently there have been sightings of werewolves running across busy lanes of traffic on the M6 near to the chase.
Wow.
Blimey. Imagine that. Dearie me.
Very interesting.
A bit different than a pheasant, isn't it?
Nobody's. I don't know. From what I can gather, though, there's no footage and no photos, so I don't know. It would be good if we got some.
Well, if it was going back a bit, they wouldn't have dash cams.
Like I say, this hasn't been updated since 2007. We could do see if there's anything recent.
Because the only way you can get footage, like you say, with a dash cam, isn't it? I mean, we've seen UFOs, haven't we?
Yeah.
But you're driving along, so you can't get your phone and, you know what I mean?
It's gone before you can find your video.
Just can't do it. So unless something runs out right in front of you, you've got a dash cam on, nothing's going to get caught on film, is it?
No. Excellent. Okay,
what have you got, Marie?
So I've got a little story about a pig man. So this is something, as far as I'm aware, is exclusive to Cannock Chase. I've not heard of stories of a pig man anywhere else.
I think I know him.
I do.
So this is about a half man, half pig hybrid. There's a few sort of, there's a folklore about it, how it came about. One of the stories is that a young pregnant girl was driven from a home, which was a small village many moons ago, near to the chase, amid accusations of witchcraft. And she gave birth in a secluded glade on the chase. And the baby, who was cursed with witch's blood, was born hideously disfigured. She abandoned a child and returned to the village to repent her evil ways. And the following winter, she succumbed to a fever and she passed away, keeping the secret of this baby with her. And it was around that time that this hideous creature was taking farm animals and things like that, and then children started going missing, and that led to the village being completely abandoned. So that's one tale about it. The other one.
So this pig man actually ate kids and animals.
Well, this is one of the folklores behind this, but the other one actually is a lot more recent in the great scheme of things, and it was apparently just after World War II. And the story goes that the British and American scientists joined forces to conduct a series of weird experiments, and they impregnated a woman with a hybrid human/pig DNA egg embryo of some sort. And after closely monitoring the woman for about 10 months, they gave up watching her, because obviously 10 months down the line they thought, well, you know, it's not worked, she's not going to give birth. But the pregnancy was severely delayed, and she later did give birth to a human baby with the head and face of a pig. And then it says much later the creature retreated into the woods of Cannock Chase, and reports of seeing a tall man with the head of a pig have been reported ever since. Now, reports, from what I can find, the earliest of reports stem back from the 1940s, which kind of is in line with the war years. And there's a guy called Lee Brickley that's wrote a book on all things paranormal on the chase.
I think he's written one on Black Eyed Kids as
And he claims that he received an email from the grandson of a former soldier that was stationed on Cannock Chase. And he claims that his granddad told him that he and others had been tasked with spreading rumours around the local area about a human/pig hybrid on the loose in the woodland. And he said this was a known military tactic for keeping civilians away from occupied areas.
Oh, right.
So this guy is claiming that, you know, it was a story made up by the military to keep people away. Yet, that being said, there are still sightings to this day being reported. And just one sighting that was only a few years ago was a couple who were walking on the chase, and they saw what looked like a man kneeling down in the dirt some distance in front of them. He was wearing trousers, a blazer, but no shirt. They say his face was totally deformed, and almost certainly he had a snout. And they also say that his head looked far too big for a human. His head was not in, you know, for how big his body was. But then they said when it stood up around 7 foot tall. So it, by all accounts, it just looked like a normal man, a very tall man at that, but with a pig's head.
Why the old 7 foot?
The couple, obviously this terrified the couple, and they turned around to start to rush back to their car. And they say this is when they started to hear a very high-pitched squealing noise. So that report was not so long ago. So that's also a strange one.
Probably hunting for truffles, was he?
Yes, exactly. That's why he was kneeling down in the soil. So I think there's many, many more on Cannock Chase, isn't there, from UFOs to Bigfoot, and it just seems to be a paranormal hotspot.
Yeah.
Well, I've just found a little bit more information on the werewolf thing. It says here that according to local legend, everything started getting weird in 1975 when a 17-year-old boy in central England in the mid-70s took out his Ouija board to test its powers. He said he would trade the devil his soul for the power to turn into a werewolf. Shortly after that, a friend said that he received a phone call from the teen, but could only hear odd guttural noises from him. That same boy, was found dead soon after. He had killed himself using a silver knife, and silver is, of course, the only way to kill a werewolf.
But going back to after World War II, there's a little story of a ghostly hitchhiker who was a woman reported to be dressed in between 40s and 50s clothing, and she hitchhikes, and it says that she's very chatty and friendly, often asks to be dropped off at a nearby pub or crossroads, and then when they stop, she's disappeared. So I don't know.
It's very active.
Lots of people. There's loads of ghostly hitchhikers, though, isn't there?
Yeah. That's another big thing, isn't it, in the paranormal world, is crossroads. They're supposed to be quite definitely significant, aren't they? Yeah. So
there's actually a crossroads that goes down by the side of the war cemetery that I've investigated. Mm. And I was going towards a hanging tree, which is further down, but I didn't actually get to it because I spent all the night on them crossroads because it was that eerie. The temperature dropped, everything. It was really weird.
And there's a pub down there. As it mentions a pub here, so I don't know if there's...
No, it's right in the middle of the... in the middle of the woods, so...
Yeah. And it says here that it's still an active... thing going on, this ghostly hitchhiker woman. I don't know if anyone's seen it. We'd like to hear from you.
So what are our theories of why this one particular area is so active? Is it just mainly because of all the rich history of the land and what's been there, and or is it a... I mean, it's not on ley lines, is it?
No,
I'm sure we checked that out. I don't think there's any ley lines that run underneath it. No. So,
with all the activity, you think that could be an explanation,
but...
No.
For me, I think I would go along the lines of a lot of the stories, like you say, being made up. Maybe there's military... I think maybe there's underground something or other, maybe, I don't know. Because there's UFOs, we haven't even touched on the UFOs, but there's them reported from, I think that's from the 70s, I think.
They're probably the most reported thing there, the UFOs.
2009, there was an object silent.
I'm sure you know, Nick, if we looked into it, I'm sure I've read somewhere that, these secret papers that get released after so many years, I'm sure that there's something that was released not long ago to do with UFO sightings over.
It's over ideal, really, for that sort of thing, because if you go, it's that big, whereas it's about 20 odd miles, or it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's no light pollution at all.
The problem is, you've got nowhere to run.
No, you haven't. No, you have to go around a tree.
Nowhere to run?
Yeah, but there's no light pollution. There's no street lights or anything like that. You know, so it's just what it is, and I suppose you can...
I think there's also a story that of a UFO crash somewhere on the chase that people reported seeing lots of sort of men in black and people telling the local people that they didn't see anything and not to discuss anything, and you know, some years back. So there is actually lots and lots more that we could talk about, but I think the most interesting thing in general is the chase itself. It's such an active
area. It's got everything, hasn't it? Everything, or supposedly got everything in the paranormal field.
Yeah.
Even Xanu.
Or Bigfoot to most people. Bigfoot. Yeah.
Let's go a Bigfoot, eh?
Go a Bigfoot hunt.
Yeah. I like the fact that in the UK we've got a Bigfoot that we can brag about.
I think we've got more than one.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
If there's two of them, are they big feet? Or big foots.
Or big foots.
Big foots.
Excellent. So, has anybody got anything else then before we wrap this one up?
Not really.
I found an interesting little bit on the crying boy picture.
Oh, go on, yeah.
That has nothing to do with Cannock Chase, but still very interesting.
It's a little urban legend.
Yes.
If we're going along with.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we could. If people could ring in, ring in, it'd have to be email, wouldn't it? Because I know of people that have these pictures.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Pal Mal has one.
There's one hanging on the walls in
he's
Pall
got
Mal.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
We had one when I was a kid.
Did you? What happened? Anything?
No, there was no fire or nothing. But we did have one. I don't know what happened to it, but we definitely had one.
Yeah, maybe it got sent into the sun because people were panicking, weren't they?
And they did.
They were massive in the 70s. Nearly every house had one in the 70s.
I'm sure you were with me, Marie, when.
It's a siren. Wondered what that was then.
They'll be knocking on the door in a minute after Faye.
Yeah, well, it was a mass-produced print of an allegedly cursed painting by Italian painter Giovanni Bragolin, widely distributed from the 1950s onwards. Now, I've seen, when I Googled, it's a totally different picture than the ones I've seen.
Oh, really?
It's a different little boy, yeah. But,
okay.
But,
there's loads,
anyway,
isn't
it? Yeah. So it's supposedly haunted by the spirit of a small boy and whose evil powers cause houses to burn down around it. I've seen this happen, and you have, in a little place up at as we called Piggy Lane.
Oh right, yeah,
can you remember?
Yes, I can. Yeah,
they had one on the wall.
Yeah,
and that was rumours were going round about that, and they had a bonfire outside, and they threw that on the bonfire. Yeah. The frame burned. This is no word of a lie, isn't it, Marie?
Mm-hmm.
The frame burned, but the actual picture itself had just got a couple of singe marks on it. It didn't burn.
But I've read about this before, and aren't they saying that the legend of them was that people were getting rid of them because they were frightened that the painting was cursed and they were causing house fires. But the actual painting itself was made with a non-flammable material, which kind of went
but would all
halfway,
the paintings, because they're all different, be made
halfway
with that,
of like
all be made
why
that,
they didn't
they?
Burn as much as everything else
well,
did.
I watched a thing the other day on it, and they do actually burn because the sun newspaper, when all this came to light, they got a page 3 model burning them all on a bonfire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does she have clothes on, or she?
I think she just had. I don't know. I was watching the bonfire.
But I don't think, and because of that, I think that's why they're so rare now, isn't it? Because everybody was getting rid of them.
Oh yeah, they got rid of them. Yeah.
Destroying them. And
but as for the original ones, I can't say. But there's loads and loads. There's dozens of different crime boys.
Really?
Now. Yeah. Now,
I think I've only seen the one. I don't think I've seen.
There's loads of different ones now.
Yeah, there's a. I've seen. Well, I've only seen the one that. Paul Mallow, that one.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only one that I've seen.
What's his
but the
name?
Little boy. Look, where's the.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Different, slightly different. So, so have you got anything else on it, Faye? Sorry,
yeah,
we've
butted
in. Yeah,
I was just having a look because I was trying to find the little. Is it Don Bonello? His name, the little boy.
So
rumours, rumours about the painting. A story spread that the crime boy was a Spanish street urchin called Don Bonello. I think it says. Whose parents had died in a fire. No one wanted to take him in because whenever he stayed anywhere, fires would start. An artist painted him, but then the artist's studio was destroyed by fire. Years later, an unidentified body was found inside the charred ruins of a car, and the name on the driver's license was Don Bonello.
That's why they're meant to be cursed and things burned down. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I never.
There you go, no. Don Bonello.
Yeah,
Don Bonello.
Or Bonillo or whatever. What a shame. Mm. So yeah, I'm sure there are plenty more urban legends out there.
Oh, there's plenty more. Tonsies. I'm sure we can discuss on another. Well. Yeah. It's okay. In case people are wondering why we keep going silent, as we can hear something wobbling, and we're just trying to work out whose mic it is actually wobbling about. So, okay. So I think we're done then. Yeah. For this week.
Yep.
And I'm sure.
If anybody has anything interesting like that, send it in.
Yeah.
To where
do.
Nick.
Contact at ghostencounters.org, and if you would like to come on the show, we can. Call you up. It won't be live, but we can phone you and you can tell us your story.
It can't be live. We make too many mistakes.
No, definitely not.
It's live when we're speaking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Very professional.
Oh, yeah, we're ace, aren't we?
Yeah, so emails or Facebook messages. Have we got the
thing, Marie,
I can never remember what it's called. The other social media thing?
Facebook.
No. Instagram.
Instagram. Have we got the Instagram
up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very active at the moment.
No, but there's plenty of ways you can get in touch with us.
Not very active.
No. Get there, don't we? Yeah, get there at the end.
So, yeah, that was quite a serious one for us this week, wasn't it?
Thank you.